couple of things I want to mention before we get into the message today. Talking about the building, as you know, the river meets here on Friday nights. And they have an amazing ministry, and they it's not all the folks that they reach, but they're really strong in reaching people that are dealing with recovery from drugs and alcohol. And they do an amazing job with that, and God's really working in that ministry. And so they're here on Friday nights, and then so we talked about this release time on Tuesdays, and you know, I just feel like the building should be used. I'll just share another thing on my heart that I've always dreamed of, is having some kind of an international ministry here. And I know we do international things, but I would love for that to be here as well. If the Lord worked, I mean, we could have it here in our services. That'd be fine. But if, you know, if the Lord would see to that, that would be another thing that I would like to see. And we need to, you know, and maybe while I'm gone, I'm just planting some seeds. You may have your messages already planned out. But we might need to do some message on provision, because we're going to need resources to do all God's calling us to do in this city and in the nations. And we need all of us to, you know, be believing for our needs to be met and for others. And so, you know, maybe something to think about. I mean, I don't know. What's the budget on your guys' trip? Huh? 5,000? You know, 5,000 here, 5,000 there. All the things that we're doing, our trip is expensive, you know. I was really questioning God about the timing of this trip. You know, all the things that are happening with Nate and Kristen, and we're just in this season of transition, and, you know, and then going for 2 weeks. I mean, I wrestled with that. You know, when we go somewhere like this, you know, the church is in our hearts. And so you don't realize. And so, like, even more, I'm just thinking about you guys. What about you guys? And, you know, so I really dealt with that. But as I'm at this place, I mean, God has really helped me and strengthened me. And I know it's right. And I'm excited about it. But, you know, you wonder about all the different things that are happening. And so, you know, normally I'll write an email to the leaders and all the things that I want you to think about while I'm gone. And I'm not going to write that email this time. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you why I got you here. You know, and Nate and Kristen are going through a lot of things. It's a different season. You know, let's do all we can to help them during the next few weeks. Sometimes we're tempted to sit out because the pastors are gone. Don't do that. Of course, you know, you're generous folks, so you don't need to say anything there. But then the care for each other. You know, don't look to the leadership. You know, we might miss something. If you have somebody on your heart, call them, reach out to them, invite them out to lunch. You know, just so, you know, our team mission here is working together, doing whatever it takes to create an environment where lives can be changed. And so I like that. Working together, doing whatever it takes. So we'll be gone. We'll do our thing. You do our thing. But you guys are in our hearts. Hopefully we're in your hearts. And be fruitful here, and we'll be fruitful there. Amen? Praise God. So, and talking about building, one more thing. I'm believing God for this building to be paid off. I am actively believing. Our payment's about $5,000 a month. What could we do with $5,000 a month? Ministry for the nations or for this city. So I want you to join me. And then another hand, then I'm also believing for our house to be paid off. And so if you want to join in on that. Now Nate is... I've been talking to Nate and Kristen, and I've been challenging them about finding scriptures, you know, for what they're believing for. And Nate shared with me an amazing scripture. You need to share it with people, about a scripture about provision and a house and everything in Columbia, and shared that with me. I just took it from myself. But when I'm believing for something like that, I go to the Word, and a lot of times I'll find a scripture. I mean, I'll look through a lot of scriptures, but usually one or two really jump out at me and just get my spirit all rattled, you know? And that's the one I'll stand on, because the enemy will come and say, the Word is not going to work this time. God's not faithful. Why is he going to do it for you? And then I say to him, to the devil, it is written. It is written. And then anytime I have a doubt or it's not going to work this time, what does the Word say? What does the Word say? Go to the Word. And so if you're going to be believing with me about the building or your house or whatever, maybe debt or something else, go to the Word. Launch your prayers from the platform of God's Word. Find those scriptures that really minister to you, and then you speak it. You keep it before you. And when the enemy tries to come to your mind with all these lies that he likes to tell, you pull out that scripture. Amen? Okay. I think I got through the preliminaries. Healing for all. If you got your Bible, turn to 1 Timothy 2. You know, I was talking to my kids about missions trips and other different folks. You know, I always say the money is the easy part. Although it doesn't always seem that way. The money is the easy part. The obedience is the hard part. The obedience to go. 1 Timothy 2, are you there? Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. This is a good scripture for us as we head into the election in 2020. Election? For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men, everybody say all. All men and women to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I did an extensive study on the word all. Dug into the Greek. Dug into my Webster's 18 whatever Webster's dictionary. All the different things. Just really getting into this word. It means each, every, any, all, the whole, everyone, all things, everything. In case you're wondering. So he desires all men to be saved. God wants all 7 billion people. And if there's aliens out there, he wants them saved too. I don't know. However you feel about that, we won't get into that today. Or maybe I should. I don't know. What does Pastor Matt believe about aliens? The other word is saved is the Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O. It means save, keep safe, rescue from danger, save from suffering, to make whole, heal, restore to life, deliver from judgment, give eternal life. I mean, it's just so much more. I'm just going to give you the highlights of that word saved there. So this word sozo is used 54 times in the New Testament. 14 times it means to heal diseases. 20 times it means it's used to rescue from physical danger or death. And then 20 times it's used for spiritual salvation, talking about eternal life. So it's 54 times. And so you're looking at this and about God's heart. So he's desiring all to be sozoed, all to be saved. He desires all to be born again, all to be delivered from danger, and all to be healed. And we need to know that today, because we need to know God's will. You know, we talk about faith begins where the will of God is known. You can't be in faith on something if you don't know his will. So he desires all to be healed, delivered, and saved, born again. Now let's look at Romans 10, verse 8. What does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be sozoed, saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever, do I have any whoever's here? Whoever, I like that. Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever, everybody say whoever. Say, I'm included in that. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we need to have confidence in that all. He desires all to be saved, all to be delivered, all to be healed. Now, let's look at salvation. And I know some people struggle with their salvation. I'm not one of those. Because of the foundation laid in my heart with the Word. But just think how crazy this would be if I'm given an invitation, say at the end of the service, and during my gospel presentation, I say some of these things. Let me, you know, just see if this would build your faith. Well, maybe it isn't God's will to save you. Now, perhaps your sin is for God's glory. I don't know if we should save you today. You know, your sin is maybe for God's glory. Or you may have committed the unpardonable sin and you can't be saved today. Now, am I inspiring a lot of faith here to come forward? Perhaps God is using this sin to teach you an important life lesson. Be patient in your sin until it's God's will to save you. Go home and work on your holiness. How am I inspiring anybody yet? Who wants to come forward? Don't come up here if you've had any bad thoughts this week. Or maybe this, you need some more good deeds in your goodness account. Come back next week until you do some good deeds and come on back. Or how about this, let's see what kind of mood God's in today. If he's in a good mood, maybe you'll get your healing. If he's in a bad mood, I wouldn't even come forward. He might strike you down. I'm just telling you, you know, so we sit here and people that have been taught the word, we would have no problem with that. We think that's crazy about salvation. But now we get over into healing and somehow we're in a different category. Somehow we don't really know, well, what is God's will? We know that he heals, and we know he can heal people, and he's healed in the Bible, and we've heard of miracles, but I don't know if he wants to heal me right now. So if you take some of this thinking, and religion really plays into all this, but you take some of this thinking and put it in our lives, and you see why many are not healed today. A lot of doubt. We're not quite sure what his will is for healing. Now let's say that a wife of a rich person, rich man, came to you and asked and said this, and her husband just passed away. And she came and said, I wonder if he's left me anything, any money. What would you say to her? A wife married to a rich guy, he passes away. She comes to you and says, I wonder if he's left me any money. Most of us will probably say, what does the will say? Right? What does the will say? Well, the word testament means will. The Old Testament, the New Testament. So Jesus died and left us an inheritance. But then it says, he's the mediator of the will, and he's also our advocate to make sure that we get everything that's in the will. But if you don't know what the will says, how do you know if anything's been left to you or that you have an inheritance? So if folks are struggling in the area of healing today, let's look at the scriptures. And a great place to start is the Gospels. Because Jesus was the expression of God's will. John 6, and I could read a whole lot more. I'll just read a couple here. John 6, verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus was the expression of the Heavenly Father. He wasn't expressing himself. He was expressing the will of the Heavenly Father. So you can look at the Gospels, see what God's will is for you towards man. John 14, verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, good question. Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Jesus came to show us the Father, to show us what God was like. Jesus was known for healing. So if Jesus was known for healing, our Heavenly Father is known for healing. What does Acts 10:38 say? Now I could read a whole bunch of scriptures here about Jesus being famous or God being famous for miracles. I'm just going to read this one. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all. Do we need to do another study on that word all? Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Remember when John the Baptist was in jail and sent some of his disciples to see Jesus and said, are you the one that we've been expecting? Are you the Messiah? And Jesus says, go tell John. I mean, he didn't say, look at the temple. Look at my good works. Look at my holiness. All these different things he could have said. What did he say? Go tell John. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Maybe we need to go tell somebody. Go tell your neighbor. Because they're wondering. Matthew 4. Let me just read. I'm just going to take you through a little real quick through Matthew. And just show you God's heart. Matthew 4:24. Then his fame went throughout all Syria. You guys going to Syria? Syrian camp. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Matthew 8:16. And when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Matthew 12:15. Now he's not representing himself. He's representing God. He's representing our Heavenly Father. Matthew 12:15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Last one, Matthew 14. There's more in the New Testament, but I'm just reading the ones from Matthew, because that's my name. Matthew 14:35. And when the men of the place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and he begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. And here's the deal. If it's not good God's will to heal all, and if we could say this for salvation, if it's not good God's will to save all, then we have to consider God's will in every case. If it's not God's will to heal all, then what about, we'll have to every single person, what does God want to do now, today? I guess it's based on how he's feeling. And then now let's look so we have the receiver of healing, but how about a person that's praying or ministering? How can you pray the prayer of faith if you don't know what God's will is? James talks about, bringing the sick person, calling for the elders, and anointing them the oil and praying the prayer of faith. How can you pray a prayer of faith if you don't know what God's position is on it? And this is where doubt enters in. And I've not been perfect in my life. I've just not been quick to receive healing in every situation, or everybody I've prayed for has been healed. But I do know this: if there's a problem, if there's a connection not being made, it's not on God's end, it's on my end. I'm never blaming him or saying God this and God that. I'm looking at examining my faith. Scripture talks about examine your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Am I living on the word I heard years ago? The car still runs when it's just about on empty. You've been there when you believe in God to get you to the next place. But what's it? It's running on fumes. It's going to eventually run out of gas. You're still running. Everything's fine. But you're running on fumes. And I think that sometimes that for us, faith people, I think we run on fumes. We take a lot of things for granted. But my Bible says in Hebrews, now faith. Now faith. Now faith is. Now, right now. Right now. Right now. Not back there, or maybe one day, I hope so. Right now. Abraham over in Romans 4 talked about being fully persuaded. Fully persuaded that God, what God said he would do, he will do. And then he backed it up with his actions. He left his other country. He brought Isaac to be sacrificed. He was obedient because he was in faith. And he, Abraham wasn't perfect. That gives us some hope. He didn't do everything all right. But he, to the best of his abilities, he acted on the word, acted on what God said. So I'm wondering, is it really faith until it affects our actions? And faith to me is not a wondering. And we use this phrase, and this is from old school, I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. And that we used to say that back in the old days. So we used to say that back in the old days, Corey. I know that 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 I know. So it's a confidence. And it affects your actions. It's not, I'm at home wringing my hands and worrying about it. It affects my speech. And again, not lying, and I'm not like saying, well, I'm just ignoring this pain or this situation. I'm not doing that. All I'm doing is I choose to speak what God says rather than going around talking about what the devil says. Because whatever he says is a lie. So I got to cast it down, and you just can't do that. This is some good stuff right now. You just can't cast that down in your own willpower. I cancel you, devil. Seven sons of Sceva tried to cancel the devil, and he whooped their butts. I've never been whooped so bad where I had ran out of the house naked. Seven of them. Corey, I don't know if anybody whip you so bad you have to run out of the house naked. Just don't. You call me. I'll come help you. The word, put it in our heart, put it in our lips. Going back to what is the word? Now, don't take my opinion. You go look at the word, but prove me wrong. There's only one time where in the New Testament where they use the phrase, if it be your will. I'm talking about sickness. If it be your will. In Mark 1. Let's turn over there real quick. Mark 1. What is it? Let's see. What happened? If it be your will. If it be your will. Mark 1, verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Hebrews 13:8 is a good scripture to keep before you. Because if you're wondering, because we're living in 2019, it's July 14th of 2019, just so you know, Gray. Just trying to help you out, son. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can read about him in the Gospels, and that's the same heart, the same will of God for 2019. Jesus Christ is the same. He's the same. He's not changed. Have we changed? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, these bodies, and we're spiritual beings, and I know we're not ruled by our bodies, but these bodies are important. We need this body to operate in this earth. If you don't have a body, it's not going to work. The body gives you authority here in the earth. And so it's important for this body to be well and for it to be whole. God wants wholeness, spirit, soul, body, socially, financially, wholeness. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you're bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Praise God. Go ahead and stand, everybody. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just take a moment. Let's just worship God for his goodness. And if you're dealing with unbelief or worry, just say, Lord, help my unbelief. Help me. And if you're struggling in the area of healing, just relax. He's so good. He's loving. Look at what he's already done. He's already sent his son Jesus to live and to die. I mean, what more do we want him to do? He's freely given us all things. He wants your body well. He wants you well provided for. And again, we're not going to live the perfect life in as long as there's an enemy around, but he's given you authority over the devil. And you got to start discerning which is from God and which is from the enemy. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Is this thing killing, stealing, or destroying? If it is in my life, then it needs to go. Hallelujah. It's not God's will for that to be in my life. Hallelujah. And he's given me the authority to speak to it. Mark 11 talks about speaking to the mountain. Now, I was kind of debating, Lord, you know, what do you want me to do at the end of the service? And I just think we just need to, each one of us, take some time to speak to the mountain, whatever it is in your life. And you use your God-given authority. And if you don't know how to do this, then you just pray quietly or pray, whatever. But I want you just to some of the things you've been putting up with, I want you to use your God-given authority and you tell it to go. You tell that mountain to get out of the way. And then, once that mountain is removed, call in what the Word says. Call in what your Heavenly Father desires for you to have. Amen? Let's do that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Speak to the mountain. Speak to it in the name of Jesus. You have no right to be there. You're not going to hold me back. You're not going to be that barrier to God's best. So I take authority and I cast you into the sea. I cast you out of the way in the name of Jesus. You get out of the way. You go in Jesus' name. And now I call in. I call in the promises. I call in the provision. I call in the healing. I call in the restoration. I call in the reconciliation. I call in the wisdom. Frank, you got wisdom. He'll show you what to do. Corey, wisdom. He's going to Eddie, wisdom. Carol, wisdom in the name of Jesus. Name Kristen, wisdom. Terry and Matt, Taryn, wisdom. Wisdom. I've been spending some time, maybe 3 weeks, just talking to my body. Talking to my body. Telling it what the word says. Speaking to my brain, my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my organs, my heart, my lungs, my arteries, my veins, my bones. Talking to it. What does the word say? I'm whole. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. I need this body to live a long, satisfied life, to fulfill the plan, to be fruitful for the kingdom. Don't give the enemy an inch. Don't give him any place. If you see something out of order, go to the Word and start taking authority over it. Even the littlest of things, don't let it get a stronghold. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Susie, I think that's it for me. Get anything?